With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the program. As we continue to take a look at what went on down in Delphi and the case against Richard Allen, it's now being revealed that in 2017, Richard Allen was able to slip through the net due to a clerical error by the FBI. And you know who revealed that? A couple of podcasters. So let's get into this article from The Independent, and let's see what's what. Headline, Delphi murder suspect Richard Allen slipped through the net in 2017 due to a clerical error, podcasters reveal. This article was authored by Rachel Sharp. Delphi murder suspect Richard Allen slipped through the net of law enforcement back in 2017 due to a clerical error, it has been revealed. Anne Kane and Kevin Greenlee, creators of the Murder Sheet podcast, told The Independent on Thursday that a civilian FBI employee mislabeled or misfiled information about Mr. Allen when he was interviewed by police not long after the murders of Libby German and Abby Williams in Delphi, Indiana. And this is why I caution everybody to trust but verify, even if it's the FBI. They are not above reproach. They make mistakes. And they also have people who work for them who aren't FBI agents. And you hear about something like this happening, and if I'm one of the parents here, boy, oh boy, am I fired up. How in the world is it that the FBI makes a mistake such as this? As a result, Mr. Allen's name fell off the radar, and the case went unsolved for more than 5 years. Finally, an investigator trawling through old files uncovered the misplaced information, and the 50-year-old local man was arrested and charged with the murders in October. So that's what led to the arrest and him being charged. I hope there's more to it than that, because if that's all they have, I don't know if they're going to get a conviction here. We're already hearing from Richard Allen's lawyers about some of the loopholes and technicalities that they plan on exploiting. So I hope that the investigation has everything locked in nice and tight. What happened here was some sort of clerical error or misfiling by a civilian employee of the FBI, Ms. Kane told the Independent. So it's always a civilian, right? The FBI never takes responsibility for anything they've done. Look what they've done with Larry Nassar. Look at the situation over with Epstein. And we can go on and on and on and on. But the FBI, they never take responsibility when they screw up. It was not a malicious error, just an unfortunate mistake, where a clerical error let the Richard Allen tip sink to the bottom of the whole file, essentially. Just another coincidence. And only recently, when someone was going through the old tips, they found that tip and thought, we need to follow up. So you mean to tell me nobody has went through these tips for 5 years? What exactly have you folks been doing down there in Delphi? Mr. Greenlee added, it was not the result of someone calling in a tip or someone incarcerated speaking up now, but it was someone in law enforcement going through old tips and discovering information from 2017. Well, that throws an absolute wrench in the whole entire Keegan-Klein cooperating theory. So who are these other people that they're saying are involved here or might be involved? Pretty interesting stuff. The revelation that it was a clerical error that enabled the accused killer to walk free for more than 5 years, also confirmed by a law enforcement source to local outlet Fox 59, comes after it emerged that Mr. Allen was questioned about the murders back in 2017. Imagine a clerical error, according to them, has led to all of these years. These parents not having justice, having no closure, not knowing what happened to their children. all over a clerical error? So that doesn't instill confidence in your boy here moving forward of them getting a quality conviction. And once again, another small town, and we're having this conversation. A redacted version of the probable cause affidavit was released on Tuesday, finally laying out what led law enforcement to the suspect. The bombshell document reveals the local CVS worker and married father to a daughter had actually been on the radar of law enforcement at the time of the murders. Mr. Allen was interviewed by police back in 2017 and confessed to being at the crime scene at the time of the murders. Now, at that time, when he said that, the second he said that, he should have been brought in and put under oath and questioned by a seasoned interrogator. Obviously, that never happened. And then they're going to say it was a clerical error? Well, what happened to the conversation when he first presented himself? Who talked to him then? According to the affidavit, he said that he was on the Monongahela Bridge Trail between 1:30 p.m. and 3:30 p.m. on February 13th of 2017. Placing himself on the scene at the same day and time the victims went on their fateful walk. So that's pretty concerning if you're an investigator, right? I know if I was looking at this case and this dude who fits the profile came stumbling into my office and said, oh, you know, I was on that bridge, I would have a few questions. And I certainly wouldn't be losing his information in a data rabbit hole. At the time, he denied any involvement in the murders and insisted he hadn't even seen the two girls that day. Teenage best friends Libby, 14, and Abby, 13, had been dropped off at the entrance to the trail at 1:49 p.m. to go on a hike, the documents state. Just over 20 minutes later, at 2:13, Libby captured a man, long believed to be the killer, in a grainy video on her phone. The man, dressed in blue jeans, a blue jacket, and a cap, known as Bridge Guy, was walking along the abandoned railroad bridge. In the footage, the man tells the two girls, guys, down the hill. And for my money, and obviously, just circumstantial, but when you look at Richard Allen, you look at his profile, you look at his gait, certainly looks to me like the man on this bridge. Now, that might be my, you know, unconscious bias at work, but it certainly seems to me that he looks like the person here. Now, does that mean he's definitely the guy? We're going to have to see all of the evidence before we jump on that train. One of the teenagers is heard saying the word gun in the footage, the affidavit says. That appears to be the last proof of life of the victims. The girls' bodies were found the next day in a wooded area less than a half mile off the trail. Detectives working on the case now believe that Mr. Allen is the man captured in that video and that he led the victims down the hill to where he killed them, the affidavit says. Despite placing himself at the scene back in 2017, the investigation into the murders rumbled on for more than 5 years before he was finally interviewed again this October. I mean, wow. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I always do when it comes to these investigations. But inevitably, we get to a point where I'm left shaking my head. You know, we hear about, oh, the smartest investigators in the world, the greatest at their jobs. And then we see something like this, and you say to yourself, this is like remedial police work.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
While he continued to deny any involvement in the murders, investigators this time carried out a search of his home and found a firearm. Forensic testing revealed that an unspent .40-caliber round found next to the victims' bodies came from that gun, the affidavit says. Mr. Allen owned the Sig Sauer model P226 since 2001, and both he and his wife Kathy allegedly confirmed that he was the only person with access to it. So that's pretty damning. And if they can trace that all back, well, they're going to have themselves a case. The question is, are they going to have the forensics and the information, the evidence, to do that? A vehicle matching the description of one belonging to Mr. Allen was also spotted by several witnesses parked close to the trail, and a creepy man matching the description of the bridge guy was seen by several people on the trail, the documents state. The Independent reached out to Abby's mother, Anna Williams, and Libby's grandfather, Mike Patty, who both said they were not ready to speak about the affidavit. Man, these people, I can't even imagine what these people are going through. These little girls go out for a hike, they get murdered, and then all these years later, you come to find out that the police actually interviewed this guy, and then they let him slip through? Miss Kane said that it was surprising to learn that Mr. Allen had placed himself at the scene of the murders that day, as it seems that this admission ultimately led investigators to hone in on him. That should have been their first instinct. If somebody comes and puts themselves in an investigation in a manner such as Richard Allen did, putting himself at the crime, if I'm the investigator, I'm asking myself, why is this dude even coming here and telling me this? The witness accounts are a bit flaky, as people couldn't largely see the man's face, so it's surprising that he put himself at the scene that day, she said. The document had been under lock and key since Mr. Allen's arrest, as prosecutors asked a judge to keep it sealed to protect the investigation, saying they believe that he may not be the sole person involved in the killings. You see, this is interesting to me. He might not be the sole person involved, so who are the other people? Are we going to get to see that? Are we going to get any knowledge of that? Or is that just something you're throwing out there as chum in the water? Because the defense, they're going to want some evidence that there's someone else involved here. Following a court hearing last week, a judge on Tuesday ordered a partially redacted version to be released to the public. And usually when we're talking about something like that, something of a secretive nature, you'll get a release, but there'll be a bunch of redactions. The details indicate that it was not new evidence, new information, or new tips that led investigators to Mr. Allen, raising questions about whether the case could have been solved and Abby and Libby's families could have had answers years ago. Wow. See, I was under the impression from everything we were learning that they were getting more information from a third party. And all of that jived considering Keegan Klein's situation, being taken out of the jail cell, the source. So I'm wondering if there's still something that they're keeping close to their chest and that they're going to release at the 11th hour. Miss Kane said that it's too soon to tell if, without this human error, the case could have been solved a long time ago. But everyone can agree 5 years is a long time to wait to circle back on a tip. I think it's hard to say what would have happened if it had been followed up on in 2017, she said. But the fact it was credible and a credible tip and a lead in 2022 show things could have happened sooner. She's not wrong. And it really takes a couple of podcasters to do this? Now, all the credit in the world to Miss Kane and her partner for unearthing this. It's not easy work. There's a lot of time that goes into making content, never mind chasing down leads such as this as an investigator as well. I spend 6-7 hours a day putting together my content. And if I was out on the road as an investigator doing that or chasing down leads the way they were, forget it. There's no way I could do 6 or 7 episodes a day. So I get how difficult it is to create this content, and I know it's not an easy job for these podcasters to continuously bang out a case like this. While it may no doubt be disappointing to the victims' families and the Delphi community, Ms. Kane said that it's not uncommon for human errors like this to crop up in large, sprawling cases. Folks, this is something we have to take into account over in Idaho as well. And I think there's going to be a lot of ground rules, if you will, that the investigation in Idaho can learn from what Delphi did wrong here. It can happen in large sprawling cases where the cases are huge and there's multiple agencies investigating over many years, she said. The investigators have put in a lot of dedication and time and effort here, so it's not for lack of trying. So I don't think there should be anger at this human error, but it is important to highlight it. And I have to agree with that assessment. And she's not wrong. Whenever you have a sprawling case like this, it is very, very possible and even likely that there's going to be some miscommunication between the agencies that are working the cases. And you just hope that that miscommunication doesn't lead to somebody like Richard Allen going free for 5 years. But that looks like what happened here. So let's see what they have moving forward, and let's see what evidence they bring to bear. In our next episode, talking about Delphi, we're going to hear from Richard Allen's lawyers and what they say about the case and why they think that the evidence is flimsy. All right, folks, that's going to do it for this one. If you'd like to contact me, you can do that at bobbycappucci@protonmail.com. That's BOBBYCAPUCCI @protonmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at BOBBY_CAPUCCI. The link that I discussed can be found in the description box.